Excuse me, Psalm 107 tonight. It's 43 verses, so we'll not be reading it all. But if you do turn with me in your Bible, please, to Psalm 107, and we're reading from verse 21 to verse 31. Psalm 107, commencing at verse 21. The psalmist says, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths, because their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And God will bless the reading of his precious word to your hearts tonight. Oceanography is the study of the physical, chemical, and biological features of the ocean. At the time, of course, of the writing of the Psalms, the common man, the common individual, would have to rely on fishermen and mariners to tell them of the wonders of the deep. It says in verse 23, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." And even back there in Bible times, even their knowledge, the seafaring men, the fishermen, the mariners, the freight companies and different things, they would have had limited knowledge as to the wonders in the deep. They maybe would have seen rogue waves, maybe survived to see tsunamis, whirlpools, storms, water spouts, whales, various seabirds, fish, maybe even beasts like the Leviathan that are spoken about in the book of Job. And certainly they would have experienced the isolation of all of the water and elements all around them. But you know, more recently, oceanographers have seen, maybe with blinded eyes, his wonders in the deep. They see the wonders of the deep, but they do not realize that they are in fact his wonders. God's wonders. You know, the Pacific Ocean is the world's largest ocean. Something like 63 million square miles of surface water and an untold volume of water beneath the surface. The deepest part is known as the Challenger Deep, and it's almost 7 miles deep. And oceanographers of Whale have discovered underwater mountain ranges. The blue whale is one of the greatest wonders of the deep. As far as the animal world is concerned, it can grow to a weight of 150,000 kilograms. The giant Pacific octopus has a radius of 32 feet. The giant squid can grow to a length of 43 feet. Herring shoals can have tens of millions of individual fish and stretch on for dozens and dozens of square miles and kilometers. And in the year 2000, the ancient city of Alexandria was discovered underneath sea level. And they're talking about having an underwater museum and making a network of tunnels into that city so that people can see how they lived all of those years ago. In it all, God is sovereign. And God is certainly responsible for the wonders of the deep. And sometimes it's in the deep experiences in life that we experience the wonders of God's matchless grace. It seems like the psalmist here from verse 24 to verse number 31 sort of goes through a transitional period whereby he changes the physical wonders and the physical depths that are spoken about to spiritual depths and spiritual wonders. It speaks about their soul in verse 26 going down to the depths and being melted because of trouble. It says in verse 28, then down in the depths they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. His wonders in the deep. And in light of it all, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I want tonight for a little while to speak about his wonders in the deep. And I want first of all to say something about the deep thoughts of grace. God's deep thoughts of grace. Psalm 92 and verse number 5 says, thy thoughts, addressing the God of heaven, thy thoughts are very deep. God thinks. God has thoughts. God is rational. And his thoughts are deeper than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts are higher than yours. His thoughts are deeper than ours. And he has thoughts, of course, towards his people. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, which is a psalm of David, David says in verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Did you notice there his wonders, his wonderful works? And thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare of them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then he says in verse 17, I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. This God that has very deep thoughts thinks upon us. And his thoughts are thoughts of love, grace, and pity. Even whenever we are not where we should be in relation to our God, regarding our fellowship and our obedience, his thoughts toward us are still thoughts of love and pity and grace. Do you remember the wonderful promise in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11? The people of God are backslidden and they're far from God. They have no thought of God. They don't want to listen to Jeremiah. They're going into 70 years of captivity. And God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give the unexpected end. His wonders in the deep. The depths of his thoughts and the great wonder that one so high and so holy and so lofty could think upon us who are so low and so small and so sinful. I remember in Andrew Bonner's diary, reading a little phrase that stuck in my memory many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that thou shouldest think so much on me, being the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. The deep thoughts of grace. He thinks about you tonight. And then there's also the deep well of salvation. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we have one of those beautiful accounts where the Lord met somebody at the point of need. The Son of God, who came from glory, took an entire afternoon to spend with a lady who had great needs in her life. The Samaritan woman. The Lord arrived at the well at midday, the sixth hour, whenever the sun was at its highest. and the well would have been empty. And there he met this woman who was lonely, this woman who was licentious, lustful we might even say, this woman who was longing for something, she was thirsty, this woman who was lost, but yet a woman who was loved. And whenever she comes to the well, it says in verse number 7, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And then in verse number 9, the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. She couldn't understand why this stranger was interested even in her. And then the Lord says those beautiful words in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And then she said in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And it's as if the Savior is comparing the fountain or the well of living water to Jacob's well. And she says, Master, this well is so deep. And the Lord's just been showing to her that the well of salvation is deeper still. The love of God is deeper than a tongue or a pen could ever tell. His grace in salvation goes deeper than our guilt and sin and shame. The well of salvation is exceeding deep. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Millions have drawn, and the well is still full, because it's a deep well of salvation. It's also the well of satisfaction, and it's open for us. And I trust tonight that everybody who's joining us later for prayer has drunk at that well. The deep thoughts of grace, the deep well of salvation. Luke chapter 6 and verse 48 speaks of the deep foundations of faith. What a wonder that is. Whenever God gives to a sinner faith to believe the gospel, and they have the deep foundations of faith. Luke 6 and 47, the Lord said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here's Luke's account of the wise builder. You'll notice that he was a man of action. He is not content just to hear God's word, but he realizes, I must be obedient. There must be a response to God's word. He becomes not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. And didn't James tell us? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus Christ said, the man who hears and the man who does is like a wise builder. Sadly, it's not always that way. Oftentimes we hear, but we do not do. We do not even remember. We think it's enough to listen. But this man who hears the voice of God and obeys it is like a man who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock and began to build. Now, saving faith is a grace, it's a gift. But the Christian needs to dig deep into the foundation of God's word. And they need to dig deep into spiritual truth. You need to take this book betimes and not only read it, but get down below the surface and dig deep into the bedrock foundation of Holy Scripture. And let your faith find a resting place, and let your faith be grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And whenever you've got a deep foundation for faith, God can work wonders, because the storm ultimately comes. the storms and the trials of life. And the wind rises and the streams burst their banks and the storm clouds rise and the dark night of affliction comes and beats vehemently upon that house. But did you notice what the Savior says? Could not shake it. Couldn't move it a hair's breadth. Why? Because of the deep foundations of faith. And that is a wonder. God's wonders in the deep. Because many people in our world are falling apart and society's falling apart and many can't survive life on this earth. But whenever a man or a woman hears God's voice and receives God's word and begins to obey it, and they dig deep and they put their roots down into the bedrock foundation of Holy Scripture, whenever the storms come, the wonder is that they're not moved, they're not shaken, they don't come crumbling down. Whenever they've got a faith that's grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And then in Scripture, not only are there the deep thoughts of grace and the deep well of salvation and the deep foundations of faith, but also the deep places of distress. Psalm 71 and verse 20. Psalm 71 verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. The deep places of the earth, the deep places of life. Great and sore troubles are described here in this verse as being the deep places of the earth, the deep places of distress. Several times in the book of Psalms, David speaks in such a manner. In Psalm 69, in verse number 2, he says, I sink in deep mire. He says then in verse number 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. He's talking about the deep places of distress. David felt, I'm sinking in my circumstances. All of this trouble with King Saul. All of this rebellion from Absalom. All of the threat of the Philistines. Even my own sin and folly with Bathsheba and what that led to with Uriah. And he felt, my soul is in deep distress and I'm sinking into the deep places of the earth. I wonder tonight, are you in distress? I wonder tonight, are you cast down? And yet, even there in the deep places of distress, God Almighty can work wonders, because he says, or it says in Psalm 130 in verse number 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Sometimes it's not until the Lord brings us low and brings us into the depths of distress and the deep places of the earth that we really learn to pray and call upon the name of our God. The Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, they mount up to the heavens. Psalm 107, verse 26, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses and maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Wonder tonight, from a deep place in your heart and life, have you cried deeply into the heart of God and experienced the great wonder of prayer even there in the deep? And then there are the deep waters of affliction. Psalm 69 speaks about this as well. Psalm 69 verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He says in verse 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of deep waters. Water in Scripture often speaks of affliction. God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And God's people are often brought into deep waters. The waters are come into my soul. I am come into deep waters. The floods overflow me. Are you in deep waters tonight? Whenever Peter got out of the vessel and began to walk towards the Lord, he was in deep waters. Albeit he was rising above them, walking in faith and not by sight. But whenever he began to look around him and he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he's sinking in the deep waters. But he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord immediately reached down and saved him. Same with the disciples whenever the Lord was sleeping. Remember in the hinder part of the ship? His head was upon a pillow and there arose this great storm of wind and they tried to paddle against it. They tried to get the water out of the boat. They struggled on for so long against the storm. And at last they went and they woke the Savior. And he says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We can sometimes be tempted to address the Lord like that, can't we? Whenever we're in the deep places of distress or the deep waters of affliction, that really tests the deep foundations of our faith. But even there, the Lord works wonders. God is able to deliver us out of such waters. Psalm 68 and verse 22, God says, I will bring my people again from the depth of the sea. Psalm 106 and verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. God has the ability and the wisdom and the power and the authority to provide a way whenever it seems there is no way. He did it for the children of Israel as they crossed the depths through the dry river bed of the Red Sea. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 51:10, Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, and hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? His wonders in the deep. In the very depths of the troublesome sea, it was there that God provided a way for his people to pass over. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. His wonders in the deep thoughts of grace, the deep well of salvation, the deep foundations of faith, the deep places of distress, the deep waters of affliction. But let me finish by just mentioning very quickly the deep things of God. We mentioned this verse in our church service on the Lord's Day morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. Speaking of the secret things. It says in verse 9, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It is only the Holy Spirit who is able to reveal the secrets and the deep things of God to us. The Bible, in many respects, is a closed book to the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know him, for they are foolishness unto him. The carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. That's why a person needs to be born again and have their spiritual eyes opened. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth of God to us. The Savior said, He shall guide you into all truth. Martin Luther said, The proper understanding of the Scriptures comes only through the Holy Spirit. Thomas Manton, the old Puritan, said, God's mind is revealed in Scripture, but we can see nothing without the spectacles of the Holy Spirit. God's mind is revealed in Scripture, but we can see nothing without the spectacles of the Holy Spirit. I remember reading a little quote once years ago, I think it was in the Daily Bread, whenever you open the Bible, ask the author to open your heart. That's what the psalmist prayed. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And whenever you come to the deep things of God in this deep, deep book, and you pray for wisdom and you pray for help and you pray for understanding, God can reveal his secrets to you too through this book. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. I love the story of Daniel. Whenever he was brought in before the king, and Daniel was able to say, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Oh, that God would open our eyes and reveal himself to us through this book, that whenever we come to the scriptures, you might experience and see the deep things of God. Wonderful things. Wonders. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. You know, we have a wonderful God tonight. One who does wonders in the deep. His wonders are seen in creation. His wonders are seen in providence. But his wonders are also seen in grace. Wonders in the deep. May God bring us to a deeper place with himself. And may he bless us tonight as we seek his face together. Thank you for listening. Let's just pray again. Father, we thank thee that thou art a wonderful God and thou doest wondrous things. We thank thee, Father God, for even those experiences in life that maybe are hard and difficult and deep. And yet even there, God is doing his wonders. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Hear and answer prayer, we humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.